This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household and only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Howdy.
Hey.
I know we take this moment.
Holla.
We take this moment just to refresh. We won't talk about American Idol here, but this episode will be titled, absolutely, What is Wrong with Paula? Yeah.
Thank you. It was about time. It was a whole season, this season before we got a chance.
1,000% of Paula Abdul was forced into last night's episode. A season's worth of her stumbling, fumbling, and bumbling.
I was waiting for an episode where she would be wasted, and she was wasted last night. That's why she was late. That's why she was going, touchdown!
Isn't that right, Jackson?
What do you think, Jackson?
I don't know, Jackson. What about you, Jackson?
What do you think, Jackson?
Do we have plenty of evidence?
Oh, we do.
For good. Paula?
Good. Lots of Paula evidence.
Touchdown!
But we're not going to start there.
Okay.
I'm going to start by spotlighting a local affiliate, Channel 7 here in Washington, D.C.
Salute.
Boy, are they good.
You get up early and you watch television in the morning in this town, and you can see very exciting things.
Here's what happened this morning at 9 o'clock. It's time for Regis, and it comes on the TV, and there's sound, but no picture. It's a black screen with the Channel 7 logo. And
they're doing the Regis and Kelly theme.
Now, we'll play it just as it ran.
Live with Regis and Kelly. Today, from the new adventures of old Christine, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And from all my children, the one and only.
So now you're sitting and you're looking at the screen and you're going, well.
Plus healthy, hearty football party.
I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Right. You're realizing the guests are kind of crappy.
Also, you're listening to it like it's radio going, okay.
News to share. Get ready.
This is how they handle it.
Special announcement.
There's no picture.
Online.
None.
Well, look at that. There's nothing there.
It's a black screen.
How disappointing.
And then.
Then it shuts up.
And then they put on.
Now there's nothing.
Wow.
Now there is total black screen.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that.
And they put on. I know, Rob. They put on what's called in the biz a slide.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that was done when Buzz was around, when they invented TV.
Please stand by, it would say, usually, something like that.
Well, Buzz, and as a matter of fact, it says...
Uh-huh. We are experiencing audio difficulties from our local program. No adjustment of your set is necessary. Please stand by.
Ah, there it is.
Now, by this time, you have the picture of Regis and Kelly, and they're doing what is affectionately referred to as host chat.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're doing this, you're now watching... For 4 minutes, where instead of hearing them and not seeing them, you're seeing them and not hearing them, and every 60 seconds they're running this.
We are experiencing audio difficulties from our local program. No adjustment of your set is necessary.
Now, I know.
Please stand by.
I know by nature you are a rebel. Did you adjust your set?
No, Rob, I knew my set was fine.
Uh-huh.
Who uses the word set anymore?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different era now.
Joe brought up a good point. He says instead of adjusting your set, you buy a new one now. It's just you don't even adjust it anymore.
So for 8, 9, 10, 11 minutes?
I think it was about 10 after, yeah.
I will tell you that without sound, Kelly looks hotter.
Oh, I'm sure.
I agree.
She looks a lot hotter. She looks sexier.
We are experiencing audio difficulties from our local program. No adjustment of your set is necessary. Please stand by.
It's got the thing, Channel 7, on your side. Uh-huh. You're almost waiting for them to go, if you're old enough to remember, you know, WJLA now ends our broadcast day.
And I'm listening to the audio to hear if they're, like, unplugging and plugging things in.
Right.
You know, I want to see if they're playing with the cables.
People are blocking them, asking.
There they are.
And then here's, it goes just from black screen with that announcement to all of a sudden.
And people are blocking them, asking what
the audio comes back
on. Doing specifically, and Marianne is, you know, it's very competitive.
We are experiencing audio difficulties from our local program. No adjustment of your set is necessary. Please stand by.
The blogging has actually become more
competitive. That's local stuff.
Wow.
That's some local guy running the board.
It's not just Channel 4 that forgets to switch to high def. It's Channel 7, the ABC affiliate as well.
Joe Ardinger writes, Mike, you're right. Every woman is prettier, quieter.
That's very true.
Thank you, Joe.
I found myself looking at Kelly Ripa's eyes more.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's start today, not with something from TV, with something from everyday life. Here's a great 911 call, a woman calling 911 to say she's driving drunk.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, Dodge County Sheriff's Department calling. We just got a 911 call from your cell phone.
Yes.
Is everything
I just want to know somebody could follow me home because somebody seems to think I can't drive home straight.
Okay, why is that?
Oh, he seems to think I'm too intoxicated to drive.
Okay, and so you called 911 or he called 911?
Well, he wanted me to call 911 because he thinks I'm too drunk to drive.
Go Bears.
And he's riding in the car with you?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
And I'm
are you driving,
home.
Are you driving now or where
yes,
are you?
I am.
Yes, of course.
Can I talk to him?
Sure.
There he is.
He says he ain't talking to know anybody.
Okay, so he's riding with you, and he called 911 because he thinks you're too intoxicated to drive.
Yeah, but he ain't going to talk to nobody.
Okay.
Because he's intoxicated, too.
Have you
yes,
had
I
too
am.
Much to drink tonight?
Huh?
Have you had too much to drink tonight that you shouldn't be driving?
I don't think so, ma'am.
Yeah, how about some eggs, Margie?
Then you're almost home, you said?
Yes, I am.
So where do you live at?
Fox Lake.
Okay, where are you now?
Toxqua, the sewer.
C&P.
Smart.
Okay.
Let's get your street address.
Pickup truck, 2002, Pan.
What's your name, ma'am?
Pat Dykstra.
Pan, okay.
But she said Lenny Dykstra.
Well, I can certainly let you go, Pat. I don't want to cause you to...
I would appreciate that because I don't like driving on the phone.
Yeah.
That's
and we don't like to see people that have been drinking out the driving.
Okay, okay, thank you.
So, Pat, drive carefully, okay?
No problem.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. There's a happy postscript.
What is it?
The cops met her at the address that she mentioned
what?
In the call, and she blew a .15 and was arrested.
Carrie made it safely home into the arms of the waiting authorities.
Exactly.
Now you That's know the rest of the story.
Thank you, sir, for making a childhood dream come true.
That was funny.
That was funny.
I think so.
When Israel was in Egypt's land, let my people go.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Hey, that's Jerry Lewis.
Hello.
All right, Jerry.
Hi. It's me, Super Jew.
Almost forgot about you there, Jerry Lewis.
You Rob. Ski-Wack. I hate you. I hate your big, fat, boss head ass.
That's Colette Harris. Hey, what do you think about that, Jackson, huh?
What do you think, Jackson?
Hello, Jackson.
Today, I'm so happy. I feel like I could explode, and happiness is going to go flying everywhere.
Oh. Yeah. Wow, that sounds messy.
What glorious goo.
Gay, 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 gay.
Everybody's happy.
Is everybody happy?
I'm not happy.
What about that goth lady?
Nice teeth.
In every single way, that was just everything I hated.
Yeah, right, Simon.
We are experiencing audio difficulties from our local program. No adjustment of your set is necessary.
Yeah, don't adjust your
Please
set.
Please stand by.
That answer is false.
Well, what have we here?
Whatever you
hear,
Charlie.
I can't believe it. These guys are fags.
Hey.
These kids are fags. I can't believe it. No, hey. No, God damn it, they're fags.
I'm calling us fags.
What is he, a faggot?
Why do you favor rape?
I don't know. What about you, Paula?
Touchdown!
There it is.
Wow.
Touchdown!
I'm on my second beer.
Hey, stop it now.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, how about the phone number?
Let's pick a phone, and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Peter North. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. I think he like 10 to 12 times at one point.
That answer is... true.
Ah, very true.
That is so true, Dick.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
I'd like to check on Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes. Right.
And I don't.
Let's bring it big
ass. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Welcome back to the show.
Don and Mike show. Wednesday. Phone number same as it was yesterday.
I've never heard that part.
877-365-3636.
Me neither. Please stand by.
It's the Funk Brothers, Mike.
Please stand by.
The Salt and Pepper musicians behind the Motown sound.
The fabulous background musicians that made it all happen in Motown, Berry Gordy's Motown.
Please stand by for Mitt Romney.
We are experiencing audio difficulties from our local program. No adjustment of your set is necessary. Please stand by.
We're going to go on to the Super Tuesday primaries. We're going to kick a little ass. I guarantee my personal fortune will result in an incredible victory, a sweeping victory on Super Tuesday.
Your call cannot be completed as entered. Please check the number and try again, or call customer service for assistance.
That's Al Molinaro I'm trying.
Uh-oh. You're going to have to re-enter that.
I don't know why I'm a presidential candidate that sounds like I've spent 60 nights in a row at Studio 54 in New York City doing lines of cocaine.
I like your hair.
But thank you for liking my hair, Rob. Appreciate it. Let's see if Al Molinaro is dead. Dead or alive, as it were.
I hope he's alive.
You kind of sound like American Dad sometimes.
Occasionally like American Dad. Because the nose is not as stuffy as that. This is...
To send a fax...
Oh, you know, now it's getting rude. Now it's getting rude.
Wait for the beep.
He's avoiding us.
All right, listen, go ahead and rot.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't gotten a return phone call. We don't know what the hell's going on.
We're so sad.
We hope you're not dead, but we would like to hear from you.
Check your fax machine.
It's Don and Mike.
Al Molinaro is alive.
That answer is false.
We need you, Al. We need you now more than ever.
Okay. Come on, Mr. Encore.
Ciao, dead man. Well, no answer from Al Molinaro. No,
nor will there ever be. But if he's alive, he's rude.
So sorry.
He's old and rude.
Okay, I know it's been done before, but we must discuss American Idol. First, Buzz?
Yes.
The Great Arbiter, did you watch it?
I could not bring myself to turn it on last night.
Oh, you're a jackass, Buzz. You're a jackass.
I'm proud
of it. Sit down.
And here's why.
Why?
Not because of the contestants. Uh-huh. And not even because, you know, I was almost at the beginning of the show last night. The first thing I said to Jen was, I agree with a lot of the stuff that I'm reading about how the judges are nicer. That
the show sucks this year.
When Simon tells someone that they stink, he says it, but then he says, oh, but you're a very nice guy.
He's trying to be nice,
and
yes.
I was noticing my idol-o-meter was fading a bit.
Yeah, last night, I believe, the weakest episode of the, three we've had?
But, Mike, no. I say to you the strongest, because in that big hour of garbage, we got the Paula Abdul that we had wanted. How do you describe her? Arriving late, slumping down in her chair, as she often does.
Putting her head on the table and sleeping.
Yeah, the one time that she
After she's an hour or two. I mean, she had to be incredibly late in order to not make it onto that show.
At one time, she was leaning over the console as if she wished to be taken from behind.
Oh. Yes, she was just sitting there kneeling on it, and nobody understood what she was doing. Did you notice her foot positions?
Yeah.
Where she was like jutting her foot out like she was on some sort of medication.
And some hick sings, and she goes, puts her arms up and goes, finally, touchdown!
Yeah, just the manic.
There it is. She was happy.
No, it was the first time all season that she was. But didn't you find that the overall episode itself was lacking? It just lacked any spark, any fireworks.
Well, no,
show any good singers.
Well, Mike, here were the two things you got to take away from this, why it was a good one. First, we got a lot of Paula Abdul, and she was so effed up.
That is good.
Second, we did find this year's Clay Aiken, the very last guy.
The guy, the guy that was very likable.
The guy that came out and said, My mother always wanted a homecoming queen.
Homecoming queen. She raised a homecoming queen.
And I noticed Simon Cowell chewing on his
sure.
on his straw, looking, sizing him up the same way he sized up Clay Aiken.
It was kind of nice that they went to Nebraska, but I don't think they'll. I don't think you're going to see them going that rural again.
No,
I just
not.
Don't think that's going to happen.
You got to focus on what the F was going on.
Well, they didn't give us enough, Paula, though.
No, but I'm telling you that we got enough. Put the pieces together. She's late. What about at one?
Oh, point, I mean, I know that we, you know, we watch it five inches from the TV.
They try an incredible ad lib buzz.
Uh-huh.
At one point, someone's performing, and Simon Cowell or someone says, "Why don't we switch? Paula Abdul, why don't you do Ryan's job, and Ryan, why don't you come in?"
Really?
Yeah, and that was weak.
Now, Ryan Seacrest. I mean, they're both do nothing jobs, but Ryan Seacrest.
You hear him lean door and goes, "Ask him where they're from and what they do." There's the intricate job that he's responsible for every day.
So he sits down, and at least when the chick performs, he says, you know, well, you weren't that great, but I thought it was okay. Meanwhile, she's outside, and all she's doing is like a big piece of Jell-O.
Yeah.
She doesn't say anything.
Oh, that's too bad.
No, she wants to come back into her comfort zone because she's under the influence of something, and she's out of her zone.
Poor Paula.
She's outside the door, and she's peeking through with the family, and she's... Shall we go inside?
Now, she made it through this, you know, this episode. How many more, here's what I left last night saying. How many more of these, like, pre-auditions before Hollywood?
I think three more, I think.
Tonight, only three more.
Tonight and two more. Come on, you gotta love the Paula Abdul factor.
I like the Paula Abdul factor, but I'd like to see the judges get more of a conflict.
Now, another TV note.
Yeah.
Not about American Idol. About House.
Ah.
Listen, I am sorry, Fox. You really disrupt my sensibility. You only have three episodes left. Uh-huh. I understand there's a writer's strike. Why do you run your Christmas episode now? It made absolutely no sense. Although still within that show,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm the only guy. I figured out immediately that he put his name to everybody for the Secret Santa.
Sure. Well, that was last night I saw some of the promo with the lady with the bloody eyes.
Yeah, that chick from the West Wing. But the thing that they got me on,
yeah, well,
am I the only one that thought this? That thought that the girl with the thing around her neck, that she was in a donkey sex show? Oh,
no, I didn't watch House last night.
You got that by yourself. Well, yeah, I mean, we were supposed to think that when she first mentioned the donkey.
Right.
Did you know about it before she revealed the donkey to House?
What do you mean before she? Well, she came in. She was a whore. She was a whore.
Yeah, that's the impression we were under. And she was in the exam.
Are you guys? I didn't see the episode. Are you guys talking about bestiality?
No, that's what I believe it was. That she came in. He looks at her. She's a whore, and she has strep throat. Then she comes back.
Like when you say a whore, prostitute.
That's what
so
she
it
is.
Would seem. Yes.
She comes back.
Always like you to specify.
She's got a rash around her neck, and she says it's not around her genitals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And he looks at it, and he says, you know, it's donkey.
He said, have you been around animals?
And she says, yes, a donkey.
You perform with animals. And she says, yes.
And then he looks at her, and you assume that, okay, she's a prostitute.
Oh, how gross
and,
is that?
And she's obviously just servicing a donkey.
So we think.
And as part of an act?
What we believe.
Well, at the very end of the episode,
mm-hmm.
as it turns out, when House goes to midnight mass. Believable.
Uh-huh.
As it turns out, when he slips in at the very last moment, the prostitute is in the living nativity scene, and she's Mary, and she comes out with a donkey.
On a donkey.
Which is how, but it doesn't really explain how she got the donkey genital rash on her neck.
Well, it's not from genitals. It's from being around animals, being around a donkey. Turns out.
Oh, so it's kind of a nice Christmas message.
It wasn't for sex. It was for the nativity.
And now
show.
You can see why I was disappointed with the people at Fox. Like, you know, you could have laid that on me like on December 21st, and I would have been really into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got that on my TiVo, and I'll take a look at it.
You'll enjoy it either way.
I did enjoy when he asked her if she did anything, if she performed with an animal, and she said yes and gave him a flyer. And I thought that was just, it was great. They really were playing up the fact, and you were definitely
maybe
thinking,
that's why he went to Midnight Mass.
Yeah, because
right.
that's how he knew that she was in it.
Did right. you pick up on that?
No. Yeah. I really thought she was doing a sex show with a donkey.
Well, you're supposed to.
We were supposed to think that. We were supposed to be fooled.
But the whole time I'm distracted by, hark the herald angels sing.
Yeah, and your Christmas decorations taken down yet?
No, they're not.
Mine aren't either.
Well, then you should have fit right in.
You know, really, you were best set. You were the best one to enjoy it.
True.
You could have pretended it was late December.
Actually.
Actually.
Actually, Dad.
Actually, nothing.
It sinks in.
Actually, nothing. So you did not like The Idol as much as I did.
I really hated The Idol last night. I hated The Idol. Even with Paula Abdul, that was the only joy that I had, was when she came in wasted.
Hold on. Just look at my notes. What about she burps?
Oh, absolutely. Did you go back? I went back and I rewound it. And you know she had the hiccups before that too.
Oh.
She gives a little one right before, and then when they get the camera on her, she does.
She's got this thing. And he's great.
That was the best part of the show.
He says, "You disgusting
little pig." Do we
Simon
have that part?
That
do we have that?
I don't.
Oh, that's the best part. That is because he goes, "You disgusting little pig."
You don't have that?
I have it at home. I didn't think you normally take two or three. Simon
on, Jackson.
What do you think, Jackson?
Come on, Jackson.
You disgusting little pig.
Here's what I like, and I'll probably never watch the show, but I do enjoy every week coming here and hearing about it, and especially stories about Paula. So
Enjoy. This is the first week where we're back to the, you know, she had three, four episodes in a row last year where she was like this.
And it was so great, Buzz, because they've got thousands of people, obviously, at the arena in Omaha.
Right.
And she's not there, so they must make the decision at some point, we'll just go with just Randy Jackson and Simon Cowell as the judges.
And they need the third wheel.
Oh, they sure
do. I mean, it
do.
Doesn't have to be Paula, but they need a third, because just Randy and Simon does not cut the mustard.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're having a wiener festival back there. and that's where he says the thing about Jackson.
That's where he's very loving. Simon.
What do you think, Jackson?
Simon becomes very, very loving.
I do like that tape.
But she was completely out of control, and she gets so manic. Well, it's manic. You know hallucinogens and narcotics and all of that. What is the deal when you really can't? You're jumping around and you're. Is it? I don't think it's cocaine that she's on.
It's
because she's slurring her words.
It's something that's either amphetamine or has an amphetamine effect on her. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I would vote for pills, Mike.
Some sort of pills. I think she's doing some sort of pill.
Clearly,
but it is a pill that absolutely takes her out of commission, because she can barely do the broadcast, even though she gets by a little bit. Even when they would show her with her reviews of the contestants, it would be something along the line. You couldn't hear her. She goes, "I think you have good presence. You have good presence.
To make you happy, Mike, I was also disappointed in this regard. Like what I said, they're too nice. So you got this one creep that comes in, and he wants to be a TV reporter, and he can't sing. And normally, you know what they would say to him? You know, "Get your ass out of here, douche.
Right.
You're a loser." No, instead, Simon Cowell says, "Well, I think that what's your Fox station?" He goes, "Fox 42. I think Fox 42 should send you to the finals so that you can be the reporter." And, like, you know, the guy's all happy.
He's very excited. It's all he wanted to be. He was very excited about
something.
That.
He's all happy.
"Today I'm so happy. I feel like I could explode, and happiness is going to go flying everywhere." Yeah.
He was the not-so-subtle queen. There were a couple of I didn't realize Nebraska had so many queens.
Yeah. It's just, in previous years, they would have just get out of here.
Right. Well, they do that. I want people to be angrier, and they're not angry enough, and it's just, the whole thing is they're not showing. I thought when they were going to be nicer, I thought the biggest thing American Idol was going to do this year was show us more talent, and they go through, you know, 20 minutes with that guy that gets the Fox job, and then you see all in all 30 people went through to Hollywood, and we don't see them.
But hold on, they did do a great bait and switch. The greatest bait and switch of last night's episode was the guy that forgot the words.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was gone.
Now, that was a double bait and switch.
They let him through.
They gave him a third shot.
But I'm leaving each episode, Don. I'll tell you the main reason I don't like it this year. Every episode, I'm saying, well, there's another episode. I don't see anybody that I've seen that I would pick for an American Idol. And that's the frustrating part. In years past, they probably have given us about the same amount of talent to weirdo ratio, but you actually see the people that are the superstars. We're not seeing that this year, and I'd kind of like to. Part of the allure of American Idol is you pick somebody out, and if you pick them out at the very beginning, you get married to the show.
The audition, yeah.
And I got to tell you something about how realistic that is. In my shoo-shoo neighborhood, I heard about a lady that we used to know in social circle. Nice lady, kid about Bart's age. She had her 50th birthday party recently.
Okay.
And one of my neighbors said her husband hired Bucky Covington.
That was in the paper.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, it was right down the road. The people live right down the road.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was so stupid.
So did I.
Bucky Covington. That was like her favorite.
Yeah. He's horrible.
It was her favorite. Her favorite. He's writing the name down.
No. This is the figure. I got to be careful with it. That's how much the neighbor told me that.
Oh, my God.
The husband paid for a night with Bucky Covington.
Oh, my God.
It's like an indecent proposal.
Wow.
Bucky.
That's what I heard.
You know what I would figure that would cost? Take a number off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Take the first number off,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, and maybe take a zero off it, too.
That's astonishing.
Yeah, well, that's what I heard.
For Bucky Covington.
I didn't even realize that was in the newspaper. I just thought I was giving you scuttlebutt.
Might have been in the Post. I'm not sure if it was in the Post. Yeah, it had to be in the Post. Yeah, it wouldn't have been in my other paper.
How could I miss that? Jesus Christ, yeah. Anyway, so she was just as excited as hell. So I guess you find someone and you latch onto them. Maybe after the show's off the air, you pay them an obscene amount of money to come sing at your birthday party.
I'm still watching it, though. I'm still enjoying the show. I want to see more real talent, and I'm not seeing enough. You know, and if I'm not going to see more real talent, then I want to see people that rave out on Simon. But I guess you can't force that.
Generally speaking, that's why I've avoided the early rounds in previous years.
You did last year, yeah.
But I'm liking it fine. I really think that you should focus on the positive, which is
Paula's wastedness.
Yeah.
Do you think perhaps next week we'll get more Paula wasted?
Touchdown!
I love that.
You have to know that they know that it's what we want.
Yeah.
It's their choice. They're editing the show like this.
For you.
They could edit it so that we don't know that she's effed up and that she's late for the appearance and that she burps and that Simon Cowell calls her a pig.
You know, every year, doesn't she blow off some section of the show where she doesn't show up, where she's late or something like that? Well, that'll be something to keep an eye on to see if she continues to be a mess.
All right, Jackson.
That'd be a lot of fun.
We'll change the topic, but that's the update.
The good. American Idol update. And, you know, I wish for a better show next week.
Don't you mean tonight?
Oh, tonight. That's right, tonight.
Tonight.
Are they still in Nebraska tonight?
No, Miami tonight.
Oh, they're in Miami tonight. Miami I bet she's tonight. Wasted in Miami.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Donna Mike.
Yeah.
You guys rule the planet.
You sure do.
Bucky Covington, I saw
one small market at a time. What about Bucky Covington?
I saw him on the Grand Ole Opry a couple of weeks ago.
What were you doing watching the Grand Ole Opry?
I was on the road, and I was in a hotel getting ready to do a gig myself, and it was on. It was music.
Are you a country performer? Are you a country performer?
Yeah, I do a little bit of everything.
Ah.
Stepped in reverse.
You sound multi-talented. Let me see if you're a triple threat or a double threat. I'm guessing you sing and dance?
I sing and play guitar.
Sing and play guitar.
Well, that might be a...
It could be a double threat.
Do you tell jokes?
Sorry?
Do you tell jokes?
Yes, I try.
Do you act?
Any acting? Any other talents?
I haven't, but I probably could, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Probably could. Could you sing something for us?
No, please.
Why not?
Why else did you call?
I just, the Bucky Covington thing.
He
I
saw Bucky was... Covington on the Grand Ole Opry.
All right, I forgot that. Write that.
Bye!
That was the great reason for that call. My apologies.
Single threat performer.
Hi there, Don Mike Show. Hello.
Not really. Radio gods.
Maybe not even a full, just like a half a threat.
Not a full threat.
Not a threat, more of a warning.
Half a threat. Hello, Don Mike Show.
What's up, fellas?
Hey. Oh, hold on a second. I got to tell you about half. I was finally able to figure it out. Janet asks me sometimes questions about sports, media, that I really am Mr. Know-It-All, but she caught me the other day. She said, we're talking about the betting on the Patriots, and she said, I got to be 12 and a half. Who would win by a half point? And at first, I said, you know, I have no friggin' idea.
Yeah.
And finally, I figured out that the reason that it's 12 and a half would be if the Patriots were to lose by 12,
yeah,
that half point, the push goes one way or the other.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. And it's 12 now, so the fact is...
It's already going down.
If the Patriots win by 12, the Giants have not covered the spread.
But I was trying to explain to my girlfriend...
The half point is significant in that, you know, it is a whole point.
That the half point is really for bettors, and when the line moves, depending on who's favored, and that's why you have... A half point.
Yeah, half points are so that you know, that you can cover. It's easier to cover the spread that way.
But at first, it was like I was talking Chinese to her because I didn't really understand. I said, well, you know what it is? It's just, well, sometimes it's a half and sometimes it's not. That's just pretty much the way it is.
And it's also because it's 12, you don't see a lot of football games where it's 12. So it's not really relevant even. The spread is that kind of spread. The half point is relevant.
But yeah, you see the half a lot, though, like in a regular season game.
Right.
You see.
Yeah, three and a half.
3.5, yeah. 4.5, whatever.
Have you laid anything down on this little contest?
I had to go upstairs and Google about the half. Then I came back down and told her.
You can learn so much on Google.
Said, you know what? I did figure out what that half. No, Mike, I have not.
No wagering?
No wagering yet. I'll wait. Right now, I still think your bet at 12.5 will yield you an incredible dividend.
Yeah, but I hate the Plaxico Burress has pissed me off.
Well, all the Giants should piss you off.
I mean, I'm just pissed off at their whole attitude.
They're all talking.
I don't know what the hell they're playing. I don't know what kind of game they're playing.
If the game is going to be, if you believe in all that sports talk crap that the Patriots are getting all upset about this.
Yeah, bulletin board material.
They're saying all the right stuff.
Plaxico Burress predicted with details as much as the score, like 24-21, that the Giants are going to win.
23-17, Mike.
23-17.
23-17.
And that's bad luck or bad form.
No, you don't say you're going to win to say the score.
Listen, Buzz, here's how this works.
All right, please.
There's only one guy in the whole history of time that's ever allowed to do this.
Who?
Joe Namath.
Well, because he did it.
Because he's the only guy, okay?
And he didn't predict the score, did he?
No, he was at some function and some ass was hassling him. He was at some rubber chicken dinner in Miami and he said, hey, lay off me about the Colts because the Colts were favored like by 19 points. He said, you know, we're not only are we going to do good, we're going to win. I guarantee it.
He guaranteed a win.
And that was it. And he's goddamn Broadway Joe Namath, and he's just the coolest MF-er of all time. And he's the only guy that did it.
And he delivered.
Yeah.
They won.
He delivered, and it was history-making.
Right. And that's why he's great.
But to say a score is just stupid.
It is risky,
it's
I would
stupid,
think.
Especially when you've got people like me that are counting on, you know, not necessarily a Giants victory, but the Patriots beating the Giants by
12 and a half.
And what is it that the Boston media had done today that the Giants were supposed to be upset about? The Boston Herald is making available, you can order now, your copy of a book called 19-0.
Oh, really?
The Road to Perfection.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My God, already?
So they asked one of the Patriots about it, and one of the Patriots said, well, the New York Post is offering an offer like that, a book about the Giants that says the team that stopped the incredible dynasty.
The hype machine. It's all the hype machine that's gotten out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all trying. What is the purpose of this? To make their money as early as possible? Is so they don't miss a beat like the day after the game? They have those things already out on the shelves? I don't get it. I don't understand why they have to have the books ready right away. But they do that with merchandise for championships. Yeah, They've got that ready to go.
But who are the idiots? That like, and you know the ads that I'm talking about. If you watch a lot of SportsCenter in the dead time, like after a World Series or a Super Bowl, how many times are you going to see that ad? LSU is national champions.
Right, right.
Celebrate with this hardbound copy and this authentic LSU rubber. That's right. Wrap your meat with the LSU Tigers only. If you subscribe to Sports Illustrated.
You've gotten enough merchandise for your football team, and you understand. As the Giants, I ordered the Giants when they won the ALCS. I ordered the hat. And what you get is you get the hat that says American League Champions, and then there's a circle. And it's obvious because the B for the Boston logo is just a little off that they had these things ready to go, and all they did was either sew on or iron on the logo for the American League. And they do the same thing with the World Series. The swag is ready to go out there very quickly.
Sure. Tomorrow maybe I'll wear it. I think I brought it in before. I've got a couple of hats. Like the most recent one I have is the one that the Seahawks would have won. It would have had if they had won the Super Bowl.
Right.
A hat that says Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl 40 champions.
Yeah, they get those ready. But I don't think they get a whole bunch of them ready.
They get like 50 of them, and then they guard them like they're pieces of gold.
And then they go, as soon as the team officially wins, they kick it into overdrive, and they put the temporary. But the hats are already made.
And
the hats are all set to go.
If the team loses, the T-shirts or whatever the item might be get shipped overseas to people who can't afford clothes. And if you go overseas to third world countries, you'll see them wearing championship shirts from people who never won championships.
That's good. I like that. Well, I think that's good for humankind.
Yeah.
Well,
they don't go to waste. Yeah.
I didn't know that. But yeah, there's just a lot of unnecessary hype about this. And you know, frankly, here's where I'm on this, Mike.
Okay.
If I'm the Giants, this department, what do you got to lose? Really, what do you got to lose?
Right.
They are the Patriots. Everybody thinks they're the greatest thing since goddamn sliced bread. Tom Brady takes a fart now, and it's on TMZ.
Well, let's say what you have to lose is the game.
Yeah, and
I mean, you have to lose the game. Do you want to give the Patriots any more motivation?
If the Patriots at this point need motivation,
right,
then you've already gotten them beaten. So why not? Why not run your mouth?
Sure.
Why not let people talk about you?
Because I think that you want to relish the role of underdog, and you want to go into that game having that behind you. I think that helps you.
You don't want to.
That's what keeps you loose.
But you don't want to go in with that whole, gosh, we respect them, they're the greatest team of all time. No, you go in, you say, you know, we think we can beat these guys.
No, you know what you do? You don't do either one. You don't go in there saying that, and you don't go in there saying, we're going to win the game by this score. You go in with your mouth shut.
Well,
you go in as the underdogs, and then you kick their ass.
That's not the modern way of the athlete.
Oh, God. Not in the NFL. No, absolutely not in the NFL. I mean, there is so much trash talk. The culture of the NFL become trash talk. And incidentally, it's been trash talk since the 1960s.
We got 2 weeks to fill.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
What time is kickoff, incidentally? That's the one. Is it 6:30 or 7 o'clock?
Midnight.
6:45.
They'll tell you 6:30, but don't believe them. And Paula Abdul is doing a tape feature for the halftime show.
I've heard initial positive reviews.
Really?
I have heard initial. It's a tape deal.
Pre-taped,
It's not live. It's pre-taped. But apparently, strictly from a visual standpoint, she looks real good.
Oh, yeah?
She looks really, really good. We'll have to see. That's what I heard.
What is she doing, actually?
She's doing her whole Paula Abdul choreography sing and dance thing.
Any donkeys?
No, she's got a rash, though, on her neck.
Rash around the neck.
You have the song? I do.
Well, that could be interesting.
Wasn't this song produced by Randy Jackson?
It was. It's called Dance Like There's No Tomorrow.
What do you think, Jackson?
All right, what's up?
Number one. All I want to do is stay right here on the
floor. Get lost in the night and dance like... Sucks.
I agree.
All right. Listen, let's take a break.
You gave it a chance.
Rob, that's all it takes.
I know. You got
a trap right here.
No, what do you call them? Aren't they $1 million ears? Is that what you used to call them?
Right here. $1 million.
$1 million.
Never failed us.
Keep it.
Maybe that's why the reviews are saying she looks good.
Like crap, for goodness sakes. That's a turd. You were just listening to a turd. It's not tomorrow. Don't care about the sunrise. Somebody please just hit the light. All I want to do. Might as well be Billy Ray Cyrus's kid. Or whoever.
Jesus. Miley Abdul.
Right. Touchdown!
Yeah.
What are you, Lane Jackson?
What do you think, Jackson?
Touchdown! We'll be right back. There you go. Isn't it great when people sing your names, Mike?
I love that.
Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.